Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. It's John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, joined by my partner in crime, Les Kaiser, over Zoom, and we just watched the Formula One Russian Grand Prix, and it was a race. I think that's all I can tell you, Les. What do you think about the Russian Grand Prix? I think you're on mute, Mr. Kaiser, just like many Zoom meetings across the United States.
There you go. So yeah, it played out well. I enjoyed seeing a lot of the things. The 10-second penalty for Lewis, I can't say was a surprise once we got going. I'm glad, obviously they tuned into us and, we asked for that penalty to be called during the race. So thanks guys for listening. And so definitely glad to see that play out. But to be honest, without that, I think we would have been a very, very boring race of seeing Lewis up front with Valtteri and Max behind him.
Well, there just wasn't much really to watch. I mean, there's a couple of good battles. There was that battle for ninth place with Norris and Gasly and Albon. It was kind of surprising. Perez ended up finishing fourth. It was a quiet, nice finish for him, but it was not the most exciting race. I'll tell you what, right at the end of our pre-race show, we did our guesses and predictions, and everything that I predicted went exactly the opposite. I predicted that Verstappen would win, that Bottas would be meek and mild, and man, Bottas went after it. He was a very aggressive in turn one. And did you hear his little quote at the end when he basically told his critics to go F themselves, apparently? So
yeah, he was calling you out, dude.
He was. I felt like he was talking directly at me when he said that. And then I said my last prediction for the long shot was Lando Norris, and he did not have a great race either. But it just wasn't, hey, look, Russia has such as not been the home of a lot of great races in Formula One, and this was another one of those.
Three out of four of the races have had safety cars going in. So, I think that's one of the things that has become a staple of Russia is safety car and incidents, which I think is, I hate to sound like NASCAR fans, but sometimes that's the excitement of it.
Well, hey, let me give out the phone number in case anybody wants to call and join the show. 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Talk about anything Formula One. And I'm really excited because we got a call on Friday and got to interview Kimi Raikkonen. And we have that interview coming up later in the show. Very excited to play that. And Kimi was very talkative, so we were prepared for some short answers, but we got lots of good stuff from Kimi, so stay tuned for that. And we also have some clips from Zach Brown, because we caught up with him last week right after the Le Mans victory that he was involved in. So we've got that as well. But let me run down the order of the race real quick for everybody. If you're listening, it's Bottas won the race. Verstappen in second, Hamilton third, Perez, Ricciardo, Leclerc, Ocon, Kvyat, and Gasly, and Albon wrap up the top 10. Giovinazzi, Magnussen, Vettel, Raikkonen, Norris, Latifi, Grosjean, and Russell. And then did not finish Lance Stroll and Carlos Sainz, who had crashes right on the at the very beginning of the race. Stroll got hit by, I think it was Vettel, and then Sainz had, he had a, it was unusual. He was the first person to go through the styrofoam bollards, and he just hit the wall. Man, that was a pretty hard hit when he was trying to just avoid the bollards and just hit the wall.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, he probably could not remember what was behind that bollard there. And those were really interesting. That the bollards came into play quite a bit today, because one of the things the stewards had said that is, if you go through the bollards, you go off course, you had specific entry points that you must return to the track through. And there were quite a few items there that didn't happen. Albon took himself and got a 10-second penalty for not following the guidance as well. So I know those happened several times.
And that rule is just, I think it's silly. I mean, you saw when Grosjean ended up blasting through the styrofoam bollards, what he was trying to do there when he was banging wheels with Vettel is, you know, he was trying not to have to break the rules, but it was silly. I don't know. They need to figure out a different way to do that. And I bet you they do for subsequent races, because that was just silly. And they actually caused a little safety car when they had to put the replacement bollards back out there. But thank goodness they did that quickly. But that was, I don't know. Well, what do you think about that?
I'm going to say kudos on the virtual safety car utilization today, because they did that briefly. And it did not really, but the only folks that had a benefit would have been anyone who was in the pit at the moment. And so I thought that was a great deployment, and the entire group slowed down. Everybody kind of maintained their placement and spacing, and then right back in that very brief situation. But I appreciate that versus a yellow in a specific zone.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give them credit where credit's due there. We didn't get the 91st record-setting win for Hamilton, of course, to pass Schumacher. Solid win for Bottas, though. I guess I give him that credit. And, you know, I was giving Bottas a hard time at the pre-show just because I haven't seen him be, you know, we don't think of Bottas as an aggressive driver. But I did hear on the BBC broadcast that they said that a bee hit his helmet, hit his visor, right before turn one, right before he was aggressive. And I thought, well, was that the reason that he was aggressive? But yeah, did you hear that?
I did. I just got to, did it hit his visor? Did it actually get in his helmet? And is he distracted with that? Either way, yeah. I can see that being a distraction. Riding out through the hill country, I've had a situation on a bee hit right over my eye on my face shield of the motorcycle helmet. Yeah, that can be a pretty serious distraction, and can certainly understand how that happened.
Hey, did you notice the fans? There was quite a few fans. I didn't see the rules, but I didn't see a lot of masks and social distancing in those grandstands.
You know, I did see that, and I'll tell you what, I'll look and see if I can find out how much they did there. It's something else. So I'll see if I can find out something to share with us here.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know exactly what their rules were, but it's Russia, so who knows what's going on over there. So we'll see. But yeah, we talked a little bit about some of the other drives, but like Perez finished fourth and Daniel Ricciardo finished fifth. He had a good race. I liked what Ricciardo said when he got his penalty. Did you hear that? Where he said, basically, he said, great, well, then I'll race faster, because they said, you just got a 5-second time penalty. He said, I'll race faster and make it up. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah, he did. He's another one. I feel like I'm hoping that he's going to have a better car, and we're going to really see what he can do next year.
Yeah, good to see him, you know, up in fifth, though, and we get to see more of him. But and then behind him, Leclerc in sixth in the Ferrari. You know, he's more than a few times this season, he's ended up faster than what higher up than what I thought that car could do. I mean, where's Vettel? Vettel's all the way down in 13th. And I know, who knows what's going on with all that. There's been discussions about what parts are on which car and all that. But Leclerc in sixth had a good race. And Ocon right behind him, he had a pretty good race as well. And then in eighth place, Daniel Kvyat, how many laps did he go on those hard tires? Because he was as high as second or third for sure. I think he went 36 laps, something like that.
Right. But, you know, Norris going 45 on his was just astounding.
Yeah.
I wish he had come in about one or two laps earlier because I felt like that really played out. No matter what, he was going to lose time in the pit. But I think he started really kind of risking things. We saw a lockup there in the last bit of that lap before he came in. So I might have pushed it a little too far on that.
That was some of the best racing of the whole race, though, watching Lando Norris hold off Albon and Gasly there. All those young gun drivers, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. That was great. Albon and Gasly in near each other racing hard again. I just love that because you can't forget about that seat swap. I think that is feeding this, and I'd love it when they come near each other.
If you were Christian Horner, would you be thinking that you want Gasly back instead of Albon?
I don't know. As I started to mention in the pre-race show, there might be some money tied to Albon coming in with his nationality and matching the nationality of the product, sponsors, things like that. I'm not sure what value there is behind that. I just got to imagine there's something back there.
All right, so after Albon was the last points, he was in 10th. There was Giovinazzi and then K-Mag. Kevin Magnussen, that's 12th. I think that's the highest they've finished in a Haas car in several races now. And did you see right after on the first race, I think K-Mag and Grosjean were at, what, 8th and 9th? So they got to play up towards the top. And then, of course, Grosjean ended up finishing 17th after that run-in with Vettel and then the Styrofoam. And then after Kevin Magnussen, Sebastian Vettel down in 13th, it's really astounding how bad the Ferrari car is this year. I mean, you saw, I was watching and cars were passing Vettel and the commentators were barely even mentioning it. Cause it was just like, you know, it's the car's just so slow. It's incredible.
I don't know what they're going to be able to do about that. It's you just gotta know something's up, and it's painful. Seems like they just can't move right on this. It's, you know, I don't think it's as, you know, as bad as, I don't know, you know, in the near future I think we could say it's as bad as we saw during the Arrivabene era.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I don't really expect dramatic changes really until 22, but we'll see. You never know what could happen. And remember, we've talked about it in previous shows. You know, they set that car up for 2020 for this year, thinking they were going to have, you know, when they did all the engineering last year, thinking they were going to have the power they have. So they've got a whole, the car's just out of whack, for lack of a better term. I just saw that Formula One has released the driver of the day, and it was Max Verstappen. I'll stick with that one. I like that one.
Good call.
Yeah, I can't think of a better one, honestly. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Checo Perez, you know, is the only other one I could think of that you could say that about. But, we've got a little bit of time for the first break. What about Lewis Hamilton going on and on the radio, which is not unusual, but on about this breaking the rules? And he was like, and his words were, when did that rule happen? Well, apparently that rule about that has been around for quite a while.
Yeah, you're right. And that is a safety conscious rule. We mentioned that as the cars were coming to grid. That's important. The reason for that rule is, you know, there can be a huge difference in speed depending on where somebody decides to do their practice start. That's what led to creating a practice start zone where you're specific areas where you're allowed to do it and the rest of the track being off limits. His positioning there absolutely was not within one of those areas.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and take our first break? Remember, we've got a great interview with Kimi Raikkonen coming up. We got Zach Brown coming up, and we're also going to continue to break down the Formula One Russian Grand Prix from Sochi. You're listening to Speed City, and we'll be back after these minutes.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Max Verstappen, for bringing us back. Congratulations today on another second place. I don't know how many of those he's had this year. But he is finishing. I thought about him. You know, he's been been essentially building a little driver lead on Bottas, and that has turned the other way today with Bottas's victory. But Les, you did a little research.
You picked on him.
I know.
I picked on Bottas. He had a message for you, I think.
He did, and I think the producer's going to try to cue that message up for us. But you got it? All right, well, let's go ahead and play that and see what Bottas says.
Specifically to you.
The only man to be on the podium in the last three Russian Grand Prix is on the podium this afternoon, and it's the top step of the podium as Valtteri Bottas wins the Russian Grand Prix.
Yes, mate! Get in there! Yes! Yeah! I think, again, it's a nice moment to thank my critics, to whom it may concern you.
Bottas, Verstappen, Hamilton, for the sixth time!
F you, critics. So,
don't you feel special? He spoke directly to you.
Well, you know, it was probably the first time I've really said that harsh of criticism of Bottas, and he said that, so I guess I wasn't the only one.
You started it.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for that. But yeah, look, hey, you know, he seems like a nice guy, and he's obviously a very talented race driver. I just always thought he needed to be a little more aggressive. take a little bit from the Max Verstappen playbook, but he won today, so congratulations to him. But Les, you did a little research during the break on the crowds there at Sochi.
Yeah, yeah. So let's preface a little bit. Obviously, we're still down with the coronavirus and the pandemic, things of that nature. Let's start off with, since September 19th, at least 6,000 coronaviruses per day have been reported in Russia. That's
yikes.
That's pretty sizable. But they decided that they were going to allow up to 30,000 attendees at the Russian Grand Prix. At least that's what they were looking at as of Friday. So take it for what it is.
Hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, I can't say that I'm surprised. So, look, let's talk about the race. And we've covered quite a bit, but I wanted to, you know, we looked down the grid and Russell, you know, again, one of those stories where I was talking about what a great job Russell was doing. And Russell ends up at the back of the pack of the cars that were running still, did not have a good finish. He ended up, how many pit stops did he do, Les? Because it looks like he only did three, but he didn't have a great race. And
you know, I think you're taking advantage of that commentator curse that Jonathan Green talks about. Maybe you shouldn't talk about anybody.
Yeah, I guess not. Speaking of pit stops, let's look at the pit stops, because you had at the top, all the way down, the top eight drivers only had one pit stop. And all those, except for Kvyat, finished on the hard tires. Of course, Hamilton, I think, was the only one that switched from soft to hard, because everybody else was medium hard. And then, yeah, so Kvyat ended up, you know, he started on the hard tires and ran all the way to like 36 or 7, and finished on the medium. Gasly finished on the medium. Albon also. But yeah, you know, not a classic in Russia this time, but we have a week off. This season has been so crazy the way we've had those, two triple headers and back-to-backs, and so now we've got a week off. But, you know, Les, what do you think about the way, I mean, I think that Formula One couldn't have done a better job from getting this many races to where we are at this point.
You know, it's been astounding. I know we're missing out on it on this side of the world, getting to have them here. But they really put a lot of effort into it. Very much appreciated. You know, as somebody that enjoys watching it, that's a tough effort and a big hurdle to get through this year, especially. Lots of controls and things, you know, creating these bubbles for folks to stay in. They've had a very controlled situation, and had very, very few outbreaks of COVID, as we understand, and it may not be because of his travels. Will Buxton was confirmed, I believe that was Wednesday, that he was positive for COVID.
I didn't see that. Well, really? Buddy. I missed that. Wow, how did I miss that? Huh.
Yeah, get well, buddy. But with as few cases that have been confirmed amongst the Formula One paddock and the crew that is there, they've done an astounding job of controlling it as well as getting races to occur. So big kudos and big thanks.
Yep. So after this weekend, next up, we've got on October 11th, we got Germany. And then let's see, after that, Portugal on the 25th. So you got 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks kind of back to what feels like a normal F1 schedule. And then a week later, though, immediately after that, you've got Italy. And I'm trying to lead up to, you got Italy, and then you got Turkey, and then Bahrain twice back to back. And that one's what I was looking forward to talk about, because that's the one where they're going to run the outer circuit, you know, the second week. So they're going to run the normal Bahrain, you know, the circuit that goes inside. And then the week afterwards, it's going to be the outer circuit. And of course, it's going to be under the lights too. That's going to be really cool. So,
Somebody likened the shape of the Bahrain second weekend race of an old helmet, like an old Grand Prix helmet with a little lip on the back of the helmet.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm looking at it.
I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. Yeah, I can see how you'd see that.
Yeah, I can see that.
The season is going to go all the way to December 13 this year. So I really, you know, it's certainly taking time to happen in a different place, but astounding work. The logistics around that are not easy.
Yeah, that's going to be fun though, having those that interesting back to back. And I wonder what we talk about the season so far and the way Formula One has handled it with all these new circuits. And I wonder about next year and subsequent years about how this season is going to affect the way they've done things. I mean, like, not only will we possibly get some of those races, those circuits in the future, you know, Chase Carey had talked about he wanted 22 races, but there's so many changes that we could wait and see. But what also about the number of people that each team is bringing? That number is down dramatically. And that, you know, this whole pandemic has changed so many different things about the way people go about their lives, whether it's their work, you know, working remotely or all these different things. But this could affect Formula One as well.
Without a doubt. I think they've probably learned a lot, as we all have, and what needs to be on site for the work, what can be remote as well. More focus on getting away from being on site for some of the positions, I'm sure. You know, as far as the season, you know, I'm sorry we didn't get to see Zandvoort.
I was really looking forward to that. I know you've been there.
Absolutely, I've been there. It is it's a beautiful location and site. Should be very, very interesting with a high bank turn for the Formula One cars. I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Well, hey, I want to shift gears a little bit. We have a couple of interviews, and in fact, we got three that I want to play, but I want to start with this one because this is Zach Brown. And as you probably know, he was racing with the United Auto Sports team at Le Mans last weekend, and he won and ended up actually winning not only the race, but the World Endurance Championship in LMP2. And we caught up with him right after that. And so we got him to talk about Le Mans and, of course, a little Formula One. So let's hear from Zach Brown.
Yeah, it was. It's, to me, that's what racing is all about, the highs and the lows. The highs are certainly more fun than the lows, but you get a mix of them. And, you know, I think it was a great show for the fans. It was a bummer that there weren't the usual couple hundred thousand people at the venue, but I think there were several million around the world watching it. So I think it was a great Le Mans, great to be able to put on a show like that. And winning the world championship is unbelievable. Le Mans is such a big event, and you're so focused on the race that it wasn't till about an hour before my partner and I, Richard Dean, who runs the team, was just does an awesome job. We kind of looked at each other and went, you know, if we kind of finish where we are right now, we're also going to win the championship. And it was one of these things where it was, let's not talk about that. So to get kind of two victories in one and to clinch it at Le Mans is just a dream come true.
That is. I mean, there's no question about it. And that's an American, because the American versus Europe battle has continued. We've seen the movies, and it is like being in a movie, I know. But Zach, this whole last 3 or 4 months with McLaren at Indy, your Formula One success, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, and also dealing with COVID. How are you personally getting on with the strangest year in motorsport?
I'm enjoying it. Well, of course I'm not enjoying what COVID's doing around the world. We're all having to adapt. But I think in motor racing, you're trained to adapt and react to situations. COVID is something that none of us have ever seen before. I think you got to kind of get on with it and deal with it. And I think motor racing as a whole is doing a really good job. You know, all the various racing series around the world are getting the races in and, you know, without incident. And, I'm enjoying, you know, in the various racing activities I have. You know, my real job is McLaren, and we're having a great season in Formula One and in IndyCar. So, when I started, we were not where we are today. So while I always love going to racetracks, I like going more when I know I've got a shot at the front versus running around in 17th or 18th. So the racing is certainly more enjoyable.
And Zach, you talk about McLaren Formula One. You've got one of, if not the most popular drivers right now, in Lando Norris. He is a joy to watch on, and fantastic to interview, but also on social media, and to watch the way he just is enjoying what he's doing. It's amazing. And of course, you know, the next couple of years with your driver setup, you're in a great position, it feels like.
Yeah, I really like our driver lineup. Lando has been a breath of fresh air. What you see is what you get. I think he's that new generation driver, really connects with everyone. He's very open and relaxed and accessible, and quite a bit on, you know, social media, which is how, you know, a lot of us interact with the fan base these days. So he's great to work with, you know, on and off the track. And then, you know, Carlos has been outstanding with us. We're going to finish the season strong. He just came off a great race in Monza. Obviously, Mugello didn't go quite as well. And then we've got Daniel Ricciardo joining us next year, who I think, you know, the combination of Daniel and Lando, I can't think of a better, more exciting driver lineup than those two guys.
Yeah, and entertaining too, those two. That's great. I am glad we got to catch up with Zach Brown, and McLaren's had a nice run at it. But we are up against a break. Let's go ahead and do that. And when we come back, we're going to play our interview we did with Kimi Raikkonen. You listen to Speed City live from Austin, back after these messages.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi guys, this is Greg Astley, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Pierre Gasly. Good race today. All right, guys, I want to play this interview we did with Kimi Raikkonen. We played a little, the first part of it in the pre-race show, and we're going to play the rest of it here. And we're going to put this entire interview up on our social, YouTube, and stuff like that. And speaking of the other outlets and things, make sure you tune into our regular Sunday night show. We have every week. We have a show every single week, whether it's Formula One or otherwise. So make sure you tune in. But let's go ahead and hear from Kimi Raikkonen. We caught up with him on Friday morning before the race at Sochi and talked about everything from the future to a little Texas barbecue. Here's Kimi Raikkonen.
Well, Kimi, you mentioned you were out of Formula One for a little while, and while you were doing that, you did a little NASCAR, and we just heard in the last 48 hours that a lot of news stations reporting that NASCAR is coming to Circuit of the Americas. So what do you think about NASCAR at Circuit of the Americas having I'd like to see you race a little NASCAR at Circuit of the Americas. You have a home field advantage a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting track. You know, obviously, you guys do some road courses, but it will be definitely, if they do the full track, it will be quite interesting to see how they are. And, I really enjoyed my, obviously I did mainly the rally and I did two, I did the track series in Charlotte and then the Nationwide, I think it was called at that time. And obviously there was plan to do much more and also the Sprint Cup races, but then unfortunately, something that I was promised and I left, but I really enjoyed it. It was a completely different sport from F1 or from rally, and quite much more relaxed. And then wherever you are 40th place, you still found 3-4 cars to race with. And it looks much easier. Like, I think any sport you look from outside, it looks very simple. You have two corners in the end, there's four corners, how you guys looked at it. And and it's a small difference that makes a huge difference on that. So it was I enjoyed it. It was an excellent experience, and I wish I could have done more.
Well, there's a bit of a joke around that NASCAR doesn't get exciting until somebody turns right. So we're really excited.
Yeah. I don't remember if I definitely turned when I had a test in the road course, but I think I stayed out of the touch through walls, but not anything big. So. I remember they told me that whatever happens, just aim it on the inside of the wall. But I never really had any big things in my world. So.
Well, Kimi, what about the future? We started the show. You're about to be 41 years old. You've had an amazing career in Formula One. What about next year?
I don't know. Nothing has been decided yet. Obviously, we slowly start talking about it, and. As long as I feel that I can drive as I expect from myself and put quite a high level on my own expectation, then I'm happy to continue, and I feel that I can still drive pretty well. So that's obviously from my side, it needs to be the first thing that I looked at. But, if I wouldn't do a good job in my own feelings, I wouldn't waste my time or anybody else's time, but we'll see. Nothing has been signed. There's some talks start to be, but we'll see what happens. It's, there's a lot of moving parts always in these things, and the team seems to be pretty happy with it. Obviously, we're not happy where we are as a speed, but like I said earlier, we're improving a little bit lately, and we're going in the right direction, so that's the main thing. And, we still have quite a bit of work to be done, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, if you do, after F1, let's put it that way, would you consider something like NASCAR again or some other? I just don't see Kimi Raikkonen retiring.
I'm putting a vote in.
Really. Obviously, I have the family, and I'm happy to be home also. I haven't really think about it. There's obviously options to do something, at least for fun. I have a friend from there in US that I always sends me. Whenever you stop, you come back to NASCAR, and it would be an option to do some. Obviously, do the whole series is even more hectic than here it is. You have so many races. Not many weekends off, but for sure, you never know. I mean, maybe it's a chance to do something afterwards. Because obviously the end results there, how it ended and how did it work out, wasn't very nice way. But what came to the race and the race weekends, I really had fun there. So I haven't really thought about it yet, that what will happen. Maybe I do nothing, maybe I only do coke on my son, or maybe I do something else.
Well, I got to ask one more question about 2021, and that is, we want to see you come back here and eat barbecue with us, but as far as a co-driver, Giovinazzi, or that name we're all familiar with, Schumacher, what are your thoughts on that second seat on the team you drive in?
I mean, obviously right now there's two seats available, so it's not my decision, honestly. I can have my opinions, but I don't, it's nothing to do with me, and who knows how it plans out, but I'm sure the team will promote the cars, whatever is the best for them, and it's their right to do it. So we'll see how things plan out, but yeah, definitely you guys have a good part of it.
Well, Kimmy, one last question for you. Sochi this weekend, this is a really interesting circuit. How do you guys set up for this thing? You know, it seems like a street circuit, but with a giant straight. I mean, how about this weekend?
Yeah, hopefully we can keep improving a bit where we finished the last two races, and it's not very easy track to go fast because the car has to be right, like obviously every track, but it's quite specific corners, so qualifying is important. It's hard to overtake, but then saying that, any track that everyone goes, it's always with this car, it's hard to overtake. So we need to start tomorrow as normal and try to make the best out of what we have, and put the car in the right setup and go from there. But I think most of the cars will run full downforce, even with the long straight. And then we'll see what we get.
And what about, one last question, what about the COVID? I mean, I know that F1's done it seemed from the outside and did a good job. Have you guys feel safe in all the procedures?
Yeah, I think we've done a good job. I haven't, there's obviously been some cases, but very limited how many people are traveling around, obviously now Europe, but I think it was the only right decision to stay in Europe. At least we get some racing done here. It's supposed to be like 40,000 spectators. In the last race, there was some already there. So slowly it's kind of getting, let's say, a bit more normal. But I think the health of the people comes first. But there's very, let's say, strict rules, and everybody is happy to follow it. So far it's been working well. And I think whatever you do, in the normal life, it's use mask, not everybody, but this I use when I go in the supermarket or out from the home. So I think it's getting more normal for everybody. And this is just how it is right now in the whole world. And hopefully one day we'll get back to it, a bit more what we used to. But this might be our new normal. So we'll see how it pans out.
I hope you're wrong about that. Well, Kimmy Raikkonen, this has been a bucket list for me to interview you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the show. best of luck this weekend, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Kimmy Raikkonen, one of the legends of the sport. We had some audio trouble in the first couple of minutes there. Sorry about that. We are going to have that entire full interview up on all our social channels and on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. So, yeah, check that out. It's good. The first part of it's good, too. And we have the entire thing up there as well. But yeah, Les, it's pretty cool that he was, we caught him on the weekend where he set the record for most Grand Prix ever. And, I was surprised at how talkative and friendly he was. He was, you heard it, he was willing to answer anything we ask. Pretty cool.
He's definitely looking forward to barbecue. So we'll get him back here.
Yeah, we'll get him back. I hope so, too.
Maybe
but
that's what we need to do. We'll teach him how to make barbecue.
Yeah, we could do that to a lot of people around. There's some places, they say they have good barbecue. They have not been to Texas to have good barbecue.
The key is having something to drink in your hand while you do it.
Let's see. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and take our last break. And when we do come back, I want to play one little clip from Tony Stewart talking about NASCAR, speaking of NASCAR and Kimi Raikkonen and everything. We'll play that to you. Listen to Speed City, back after a quick break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is a leading provider of road racing and performance equipment at each of our locations in Texas, California, Georgia, and Kentucky. But we know some racers want that same high-quality gear, customer service, and pricing without leaving home. Check out the online store at WindingRoadRacing.com. It's got all the same high-quality brands you've come to know us for. Alpine Stars, Stilo Helmets, Chill Out, and AIM Data Systems. All available at great prices and delivered directly to you with free shipping. Log on now, WindingRoadRacing.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Tony Stewart. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. When we left on the break, I said we were going to talk, we're going to hear from Tony Stewart. Besides that rejoin that we just heard from him, because, you know, we asked Kimi Raikkonen about NASCAR because he'd raced NASCAR when he took some time off from Formula One back in like 2010 and maybe in his future. But we got the news, like we mentioned in that interview with Kimi, about the possibility, looks like a strong possibility, of a cup race, NASCAR cup race here in Austin at Circuit of the Americas. And we have a little short clip, a little one-minute clip of Tony Stewart, because we caught up with him here at COTA last year during Formula One weekend when they had a cup car here, and Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen riding around COTA and that with each other as passengers, by the way. That was interesting, but let's go ahead and hear from Tony Stewart on the possibility or what COTA would be like as a venue for NASCAR Cup race.
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that this venue would put on a good NASCAR race as far as the road course side. So, you know, everybody goes, well, would they take one away from Texas Motor Speedway? That would not be the right thing to do. I think there's other tracks on the schedule that I think I would take a race away from. Before I would take away one from Texas Motor Speedway. I think Eddie Gossage and his staff do an awesome job, and it would be an injustice to do that, to bring a race here. But I would say this is a great venue after running today. It's the fun part is there's, I feel like there's at least five very solid passing opportunities per lap here, which is more than adequate. But most of all, it's a very technical racetrack, and that's the part that for me as a driver that I would look forward to competing at a place like this because of that. I mean, that's it. You obviously, your cars have to be right, but there's a lot of opportunity for the driver to really make the difference at this track, and that's something that as a race car driver I enjoy.
You know, how many times have we heard that phrase, Les? Everybody loves COTA and talks about it being a technical track. I just never really thought about how good it could be for NASCAR, but man, he just gushed about COTA for NASCAR.
Yeah, he really did. And you know, the interesting thing is also in that interview, the comment about Kevin Schwantz being one of the designers of it. You know, I gotta say, maybe we're onto something on it. You know, more drivers and racers actually getting involved with the designs of tracks, as opposed to what feels like it's a very corporate design. This is what we're going to do, but racers themselves being in it, I really like the idea of that.
Yeah, and that was from the full interview, which if you go to our website or if you subscribe to our SoundCloud, you can go there and hear that. We did. We had like 15 minutes with Tony Stewart out that day. That was pretty cool. It was. He got very casual and entertaining, and it was pretty funny. So check that out. But yeah, that's
check
a good
out
point.
How he feels about Prius. He's very passionate on that as well.
That's a good point, though, because it was Kevin Schwantz and Tavo Hillmond, who's a local Austinite here, whose father was involved for many years back in the day with the Mexican Grand Prix. And really, Tavo was the one who was more responsible for having Circuit of the Americas in Austin than probably anybody. So
you're right.
Got to give credit where credit's due there, for sure.
Absolutely. Tavo is the guy that made this happen. You know, and also, again, Tavo is a sports car competitor as well. And so he's got the merit of driving and, like I said, having those two drivers who have driven on circuits around the world put together some of their favorite parts. Kevin refers to the S's series 2-9, reminding him of Maggots Beckett.
Yeah. And I think didn't Tavo do a little open wheel racing too, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah,
I believe he did.
Yeah. I think he was in Formula 3 and Formula Ford. I just did a quick Google and yeah, he did. I was almost certain of that, but yeah. But yeah, let's, you know, we skipped over something talking about the Russian Grand Prix that happened today because it was talked about quite a bit during the race, but that was the fact that Hamilton is now 2 penalty points away from a race ban after those 2 practice start violations today.
That's interesting. That is interesting. You better mind his P's and Q's the rest of the time here. Otherwise, that is just what folks would need to really make ground on his lead.
I just found an article on racefans.net. I just Googled that because I didn't know all the rules. And they're talking about Article 36.1, blah, blah, blah. But it says the 2 penalty points move Hamilton to a total of 10 for the current 12-month period. It says no F1 driver has ever reached more than 10 points. And I guess they're saying in the 12-month period, anyway, it says Hamilton is the third driver to do so following Sebastian Vettel and Daniel Kvyat. Remember Kvyat when he was going through his teething pains? He definitely had a lot of issues there. But yeah, that's going to be interesting because, you know, if you think about it, the season has been compressed, right? We've had all these these triple headers, back-to-backs, and all these races in such a short period. So maybe that, I haven't done the math on that, but that's what it feels like. And
sure, so yeah, right now there's a 44-point spread between Bottas and Hamilton.
Yep.
If Bottas were to win that race and Hamilton not be in it, we have a race. We have a championship back in our hands again. Beyond that, the next one is Max, and he's down 128. I think it's safe to say that Mercedes is on their way to another season championship, manufacturer's championship. But between Bottas and Hamilton, it still looks great.
Yeah. That's a good point, Les. I always wait for those statistics to update on F1.com after race. Just take a look at the standings real quick. Constructor standings now. Of course, Mercedes with a dominant lead, approaching double what Red Bull does. Mercedes with 366, Red Bull with 192. Renault 106, Racing Point with 104. That's a tight race for third. And then Renault, actually, three-way race, because Renault's got 99. It's 106, 104, 99, McLaren, Racing Point, Renault. And then another 24 points down, Ferrari with 74, AlphaTauri with 59, and then it drops off pretty dramatically with Alfa Romeo with 4, Haas with that 1 point, and Williams with none. So that's, you know, no big surprise there, but it is, that's a cool race for, if you go from Ferrari down in sixth all the way to Renault in third, that could change. I mean, I don't really see Ferrari competing too, but that could. I mean, mathematically, they're definitely in that. So, but like you said, it's now 44 points for Hamilton, and it's possible. But hey, we have a caller. We have one of our favorites. We have Inga Strecka has called in. She's zoomed in, actually. We can see her. Hey, Inga, how are you?
Hi, I like being called a favorite. Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate you. Are you in Germany? I guess you're probably at the house, right, with this craziness going on?
Yes. I'm hoping to be at the Nürburgring in 2 weeks' time, home Grand Prix, but I've been working this race from the studio.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the show. Give us your take. We tried to think of as much as we could for the Russian Grand Prix, but any standout for you?
Well, man of the race, Max Verstappen, pretty sure you guys talked about that yet. I don't know if you followed the press conference, which is still going on right now. I'm actually just watching and not listening right now because I'm listening to you, but I have been listening to it. And I find it's quite interesting how really emotional Lewis Hamilton is reacting to this penalty, how really short he is in his answers. I mean, he is always wearing his heart on his sleeve, and that today it's showing again. And I bet you he's going to study the rule book inside out to check why on earth he got two penalties. Well, he did two times the mistake, but also Max Verstappen was saying that he thinks the time penalty in the race plus the two penalty points, which could actually, if he gets two more points, result in a race ban for Hamilton. That's really harsh.
Yeah.
That's what Verstappen said.
And, you know, that is Hamilton, though, isn't he? That he always does wear his heart on his sleeve. And, I mean, even during the race, and I always think of those race engineers as not only being engineers, but being psychiatrists, too, keeping their driver, keeping their driver steady.
Yeah. Psychiatrists and moms.
Yeah, and a mom. That's true. Yeah, we did. We just touched on that. We actually kind of forgot about it until just right before you came on, touched about that race ban. And I was just saying that it feels like that it, with the compression of the season, you know, we had all those triple headers and everything, how that got affected too. But I don't know if, I mean, and you talk about Hamilton with the rule books, right? Well, he needs to read the rule book because that was a pretty clear rule violation. Don't you agree?
Well, I would think it's more actually in this case, more down to the team. If you go on social media and see what everybody is like writing about it, they are mainly saying that the team should have told him and that this is a team issue, not a driver issue.
No, I agree, because the team was the one who made that call, but he was going on. And I'm thinking, OK, well, you know, before you go on and on, you got to at least know the rules, because it was a violation of the rule.
True.
But
I hope we've got enough time for Mick Schumacher's rule violation. Similarly, it wasn't Mick. So the underlying story is one of the Prima boss, Rene Rosen, got involved with the team, basically directing some orders. He is not a registered operations person in the garage and on pit lane. That's a violation of the rule. And Mick went on to win the race. And so this may become an administration review of the rules. What do you think about that, Inga?
Honestly, I'm not 100% firm with the Formula 2 rules, but I think something like that most likely should result in a team penalty, not a driver penalty. And Mick, to my knowledge, has now, I think, 22 points lead in the championship. I've just watched an interview with him in German, where he's like so cheerful and so positive. And for the first time, he's been saying I want to thank the team because we have a consistently fast car, and this is how you win championships. It's the first time he's actually touching the word championship, and it's looking good for him. What a shame that Formula 2 is not racing at the Nürburgring in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Oh, sounds amazing.
Well,
see them there.
Inga, I'm sorry. Our 4.5 minutes blew past, and we appreciate you coming on, though, and we'll get you back on the show and soon, so I appreciate you coming.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Inga.
All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Kimi Räikkönen for being our guest this week. That was awesome, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.